Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much for joining me again today as we're going through this passage of Matthew 25. We're going through one of Jesus' most famous parables. It's one of my favorite parables. I actually spent a year doing retreats on it, walking with friends through this passage and just being like, Lord, what are you saying? How are you preparing us for the kingdom of heaven with this passage, and what does this look like? And if you joined us yesterday, we spent a good chunk of time talking about how do we kind of transition into this next season. Even for those of us who aren't in school, transitioning really from summer to fall is a big transition. And I was just sharing, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been carrying a lot this summer. I've been walking with the Lord in a very particular way. It's been a fruitful summer. It's been an amazing summer. It's also been a challenging summer. It's been a hard summer. And so the Lord is inviting us as we transition into this next season to really hide in the shadow of his wings, to hear his word, to allow his word to penetrate us deeper and deeper into our hearts so we can find true security in him. And as we go through a passage like Matthew 25 and we're hearing from Jesus, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Even if we understand it, even if we don't understand it, if it's easy for us to hear, if it's hard for us to hear, whatever our experience is, there's a way in which the words of Jesus, the voice of Jesus, the truth of Jesus teaching us, bringing us into deeper relationship with him, gives us deeper and deeper security. It really does. And so that's what we're doing together. That's what we want to do together. So we're just going to keep going. Yesterday, we got to like the first verse where we talked about what is the kingdom of heaven like? It's a bridegroom coming to meet his bride. And Jesus could have said a lot of other things. He could have made a lot of other comparisons. But he's saying to us, at the core, this is relationship. At the core, it's us being together forever and ever and ever. That's it. It's me, the bridegroom, coming out to meet my bride. And the whole point of this parable is he wants us, friends, to be ready. And so I want to be ready, and I want you to be ready. So that's why we're going through this passage. But we're going to start with our psalm. We're going to pray together, Psalm 112. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light rises in the darkness for the upright. The Lord is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of evil tidings. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked man comes to naught. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Or blessed are we if we fear you, if we have holy fear of God, one that is a gift of the Spirit, the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And so, Lord, give us holy fear. As we approach you in your word, as we approach you in this passage, that we may be motivated to be ready to meet you by love and by holy fear. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read our parable again, and then we're going to see what the Lord wants to say to us. Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, They took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Amen. Amen. So yesterday we began to talk about what is the kingdom of heaven like. The kingdom of heaven is like the bridegroom coming out to meet the bride, the 10 maidens. And so as we begin here, one of the things that I was thinking about that I think is so interesting and so important for us as we approach this passage is Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's the bridegroom coming out to meet those 10 maidens. And this story that I'm going to tell you about these 10 virgins who all were preparing to meet the bridegroom. And so there's something very important about that, friends. And the important thing that Jesus is trying to tell us is he's not speaking to heathens. He's not telling this parable to people who are not disciples. He's not telling this parable to people who are not following him. He's telling this parable to his followers. And this is a very important context because this parable is for you. It's for me. It's not for the people out there. He's talking to the people who are in the church. He's saying, hey, you who are waiting for me, this word is for you. And this is why we should have holy fear, because sometimes we can say, well, I'm in the church. I'm doing my prayer time. I do my rosary. I do my thing. I'm ready. I know what I'm doing. I'm good to go. And the danger in saying that we're good to go is we can miss the oil that Jesus wants us to have to prepare. And so this is the mindset even that we begin with is saying, Jesus is talking to me. He's talking to people that loved him. He's talking to people who were following him and saying, these brides, these virgins, they were all desiring to meet the bridegroom. They were all desiring, they were all waiting for the bridegroom, but not all of them made it to the wedding. That's holy fear right there. And so we begin by reading this passage today. Jesus, you're speaking to me. I am one of the 10 virgins. You are one of the 10 virgins. The men are like, I'm so uncomfortable with this analogy, right? But it's like, it's the scripture. We're waiting for the bridegroom and he's speaking to us and he's saying, some of you may not be as ready as you think. You may not be as ready as you think. And this isn't Jesus wanting to trick us and being like, whoops, you thought you were ready, but you're not. But he wants to prepare us. And so as we go, I think it's really important, you know, my mom was born and raised Jewish, and so my siblings and I are 100% Jewish through the bloodline of our mother. And so my parents had a very Catholic and a very Jewish wedding. They were married by special permission of the bishop in a hotel so that my grandparents could be there because they were like, we're not coming if it's in a church. You know, my Jewish grandparents were there. And so my parents got married in a hotel with a priest and a rabbi from Chicago under a chuppah, which is a Jewish marriage canopy. It's a very important part of the Jewish marriage ritual. And in our house now is framed not only the marriage license, but a Jewish marriage license is called a ketubah. And it's the marriage license, which expresses all the intentions of how the bridegroom is to take care of the bride. And it's agreed upon before the wedding. And it's a very special document. But thinking about that, having that in my history, it drew me as I was in this passage to go through really the Jewish wedding rite and the Jewish wedding ceremony and the history of Jewish weddings, because it helps make sense of this passage for us because we're so used to modern wedding language. So I just want to lay it out for you. There's a number of steps that are a part of a Jewish wedding. And the people that Jesus would be speaking to, the Jews, they knew this very well. And so the first step, and this is going to kind of be a little bit of a muddled version. It's not going to be like the exact, like every single step, because it's a very long process. But the first step is the matchmaking. And it's very common and very traditional that the match is made for the bride and the father makes the match. That the fathers make the match. And they match the couple together. And it's very beautiful. Our friend, some of our very good friends just got married, and the husband from Nigeria, and he was telling us about this matchmaking process, and he was telling us about kind of this beautiful little like traditional skit essentially that's done by the families of the bride and the groom. And the groom has to go to the even if he already knows them, he has to go to the father of the bride and her brothers and sit down and say, you know, your daughter has caught my eye, your sister has caught my eye, this is why. And they do this like little skit of the father essentially saying, you know, let me go and think about whether or not you are worthy enough to receive the value of my daughter. And then they come back to the table and they discuss. And it's such a beautiful thing, but it's that first step of a match is made. The father arranges the match. And then after the match is made, the terms of the wedding are set up. The groom comes and he says, these are my intentions. This is how I intend to take care of your daughter. This is what the groom comes forth and he gives that, the intentions of the marriage. And then after that, the bride price is set. And the groom is saying, this is what I will give for the bride. This is what I will give for the bride. And then they have this betrothal ceremony. And then after that, the bridegroom goes off to prepare a place for him and the bride. And while the bridegroom is gone, the best man stands guard and he watches and he heralds the coming of the bridegroom. So when the bridegroom returns, the best man says, he's coming, he's back. He's coming back to get you. He's coming. This is what they actually did. And the bride waited, and she waited there with her wedding party. And the bridegroom usually came back in the night. And the wedding party then responded by lighting their lamps and doing a procession of marriage, a big festival procession in the streets. So the people that were watching from the windows, they knew this is a marriage procession. They're all going out to meet the bridegroom who's been announced by the best man. And now they're all going to the wedding feast. And they would have the wedding feast and they would celebrate the groom returning for his bride. And the bride, they would already have been betrothed. And then what would happen is the bride and the groom would go during the feast by themselves off to the inner chamber alone. And they would consummate their marriage. They would go into this inner sanctum. And they would become one. They would come into the most intimate relationship. And friends, this is just an overview, but I want to go through this more tomorrow, but I hope that as you're even like hearing this and we're going through this process of the father has been the one to set up the wedding. This is our story. It helps us to understand what's happening. The father has given us his son. The son's coming has been heralded. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He's coming back to meet us. And when he takes us to the marriage feast, we will become one with him. And we're going to get into this more tomorrow because it's so, so beautiful. But reflect on that as you go today into your prayer time. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.